The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deake speaking.
Welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson, and joining me, guest Charlie number one. T'was the day before the US election, and I thought, let's do a little time capsule. Let's record a little episode. It is Tuesday in my time, the 3rd of November, which means that we're about 24 hours before the voting starts in America for the new president of America. Were you aware of this, Dave? Has it made the news over there?
I haven't really been paying attention much. I'm not really political, so I don't really follow this stuff. But some people are talking about it, I guess.
Okay, so all right, like I don't even know where to start because this show like is going to go so completely out of date so quickly, which is something that I love about it. So yeah, these are the last moments of whatever happens next. So, like, there's... Okay, run us through, okay, just the possible scenarios first. What are the gamut of possible scenarios of what happens tomorrow?
I mean, there's the fairy tale scenario, which is that Biden wins by so much that they just give up and walk away and realize they're trounced and everybody lives happily ever after.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what is the likelihood that that is the scenario that unfolds tomorrow?
-3.
Okay, so...
But it's what a lot of liberals believe is going to happen.
Well, that's what you want to believe, right? That's your best possible scenario, that everything will be returned to normal tomorrow and everybody will wake up and... Like everybody who's voted has voted for Biden, and it's going to be a landslide, and it's going to be irrefutable. And Trump is going to understand that it is so irrefutable that he says, "You know what? You got me." And he walks away gracefully from the position. That is the ultimate dream, the ultimate fairy tale, the Cinderella story. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's the end. That's the ending of the movie Hoosiers, and that's like it's just like it's just like yeah. So it's a little more complicated.
Oh, boo.
I mean,
boo.
I think the thing people don't realize is that Trump has an actual mental disorder, and he's either a borderline personality or he is an extreme narcissist, one or the other, or maybe both.
Oh, yeah. I would say lock in A and B. Column A, column B. I don't think we should rule out one just because there's the other one.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. That would be really bad. But his reality, and this is something my wife told me immediately when he's elected, she goes, if he ever reaches a point where he can't make his own reality, like if he hits a point where reality actually overcomes what he needs to be true, he will have a mental breakdown. And I asked her a couple of days ago, I go, this is it, right?
This, you know, what I love about this already is the idea that this could get worse. Like the idea that you're looking at this guy going, now the thing that you don't want is this guy to have a mental breakdown, because this is him operating at full capacity.
That's
at
right.
The moment. This could get a lot worse than this.
He can get worse. And so, you know, that to me is always the thing that I feel like people aren't really taking in to the equation when they talk about, like, oh, he can just go away. He actually can't. It's not his brain can't. He actually can't do that. That's not a possibility. So,
okay, so run me through this then. Fairy tale situation happens. Like, Biden sweeps the board. It's overwhelming. This is the scenario. What happens? What happens to Trump next?
So he punishes every state that did not vote for him. He has Homeland Security steal their PPE, their tests, their anything they need to fight COVID. And he gives it to the
states.
Doesn't
matter. The
voted.
Vaccine's coming out on November the 5th. I heard him say it. November the 5th, the vaccine comes out. So
he would actually just give the vaccine to red states. Like he will punish the states that didn't vote for him in a way that people can't even comprehend that a villain of that nature exists. And that will cause possible, like if I'm the governor of California and Trump sends in Homeland Security to steal my stuff, well, I'm sending the National Guard to stop them because lives are on the line. So you could really have actual gunfire between American troops on that
level. Is there the possibility that if Trump loses, I mean, he's barely bothered to go to work at the best of times when he had the job. Is there a possibility that he just wouldn't go in for the next period of time until Biden takes over?
Yeah, but he would still govern from a distance. Yeah, right. There is. I don't buy the thing that they're going to have to rip him out of the White House or whatever. Like, he'll be on a plane because
he barely knows where it is. You got to rip him out of Mar-a-Lago. Got to rip him off the 17th hole. That's where you got to rip him off.
But he's such a fucking chicken shit. Like, as soon as he loses an election, he's going to go to another country because he's scared he's going to be arrested. Like, and they're never going to arrest him. Like, that's just not happening. He's going to fucking run away crying and screaming and being a big baby. You know, he'll be in another country probably, which is something Patton Oswalt called really early on. He said he's going to end up living in exile. It's just so funny. I mean,
it really is. Like, I know it isn't, but it really fucking is. Like, where is he most likely to exile? Is it going to be somewhere like really predictable, like Russia or something? Or does he go and like take over some sort of island nation in the Pacific or something?
I don't know. I mean, he could go to like Brazil. He could go to an island. He could. There are a bunch of possibilities of like the Philippines. Like, who the fuck knows? There's a lot of like strong arm assholes out there that he would be happy to go hang out with. I mean, he's going to be blustering and a baby the whole time, but I just can't see him. He's such a fucking baby. He's such a scared, giant, you know, crying baby that I just can't see him losing and then hanging out. I mean, I think he generally would believe his life is in danger and that he could be arrested. And so, I mean, that's the problem with Democrats saying they want to arrest him and also saying ICE is, brown shirts and whatever else. Well, then those guys don't ever want to hand over power because they know they can be arrested. And then you have like a not great situation.
I mean, that is a fair point that you're making, right? Of course you don't want to, because like, this is the thing about Trump is that not only are they saying that they want to arrest him, but he's very aware that there's a whole bunch of things he should be arrested for.
Like, yeah, absolutely.
It's like, they've got a good point. Like, if they want to come after me, they have a case to make. So I should not either get rid of this power or stick around. I'd like to imagine it ends very much like the end of Shawshank, and Trump's just on a beach somewhere, like building his own boat. And one by one, all these former advisors who've been in prison get released and kind of find him on the beach.
I mean, that would be so beautiful. What's the beach, though? Like, where? I just can't see him on a beach. That's really the problem. Like, if he's more like in a casino somewhere, right? He's not beach.
It's Die Hard. He's literally, he's just taken over. He just barricades himself in a casino. You could defend a casino. You know how occasionally you see one of those stories about somebody who's declared the local area they live as like an independent, you know, province those sort of things? And so could Trump like get a casino and just get enough hired goons to sort of like, you know, fortress his casino and kind of live in Trump land? Possibly. Right.
I mean, it would be amazing, but one of the big problems is that he doesn't have any money. Like, that's the crazy thing is that he's just in debt. Like, he's just not a guy. He's just rotating loans and shit. Like, he's not. So it's a real problem with whatever plan he has in the future is that he's just a fucking broke idiot.
Well, I mean, technically he has some money. He just owes it to other people, right? So, like, he might... like, it's not his money, but he might actually have money. Like, does that make sense? Like, you know, if he doesn't pay his debts back, he might actually still have accessible money. He might have walking around cash.
Yeah, he could easily have. I'm sure he does have walking around cash. Yeah. But...
okay. All right. So, okay. So, that's your sort of minus 3 out of 10 chance is that everything goes fine. And it's still not fine. Okay, well, that, for a best-case scenario, wasn't that good, to be honest. wasn't as reassuring for a best-case scenario as I think we would have liked to hear. But anyway, second best-case scenario then. What's the next most likely thing that happens?
That he tries to steal the election. He steals Florida, and he steals... maybe North Carolina, but still loses the election. And then you're in a weird situation where he got beaten while playing his game, you know, not just getting ousted at the box. Like, because to steal the election, the way they're going to try to do it is Florida has a Republican governor. And the way it works is the state, you know, votes, and then they tally up the votes, and then it's sent to the governor, and the governor has to literally sign off on it and then send it to D.C. and say, this is...
I mean, that seems like a very democratic system. To let everybody decide and then let one person decide.
I think the best governments, the best democracies anyway, have a guy who's like a king and then like 50 other kings.
Right. And also, by the way, let's let that king guy decide. But the problem is that, the king is on his side also. Like, we're not got an independent king making this decision. We literally have a king who is on the side of the person who is the other king.
And then there's a people who are supposed to be, making... choices for the entire society that is supposed to be neutral, and they're all on the king's side also.
Yeah, okay.
So what if a Republican governor refuses to sign off and say that Trump won, which I think is the most likely scenario for chaos, then... like, there's still a West Wing-y mindset of liberals that, you know, you just need a good government. You just need a good person in there. But then the whole system is shown to be a fucking sham. So the Republicans, by doing that, and if Trump loses, have really made a problem for themselves because they've completely usurped democracy and lost doing it. So they don't have power now. And they tried to cheat, and it's blatant. I don't know what Democrats do because they're so fucking weak, but it's really not a good scenario for the other side.
Right, but you're essentially saying to me that Trump would be more pissed off that he cheated and still lost. He'd be pissed off that the cheating didn't work, is what you're saying.
Then he would get mad at the people who are supposed to be helping him cheat as opposed to, you know what I mean? Then he would be, then it's like this weird inside game.
Okay. Out of likelihood, out of 10, what is this? What are you giving this scenario?
That one's like a 5.
Okay. All right. Next. What happens next? What's the next scenario?
The net's bad scenario, that there isn't a result, that Biden doesn't get the number of electoral votes he needs, and neither does Trump. And then it's just what it's supposed to happen then is this. Then the Republicans get to choose the president because it goes to the state houses and then they send groups to Congress and then they vote. But the state houses are controlled by Republicans, so they would just pick the president.
Okay. And then that's... And what is the likelihood that they would pick Biden?
It's not great. I got to be honest. It's not... It's not great. It's really bad, actually. They're not huge fans. Of course, we all know Biden's a huge socialist, so they're against socialism.
Okay, so in that scenario, yes, the Republicans choose Trump to be president again. And then what happens to the Democrats? What do the Democrats do if it comes down to the idea that you can't split them and they choose that Trump, like, is going to be president again? What happens to the Democrats then? What do they do in that situation?
Well, they concede, and then the American people say no. And then you have a situation where liberals finally abandon their party for being weak, and no one has faith in that. And then also the states start taking control, like California will just flat out not pay taxes. And then you just, that gets really bad. I mean, once California's not paying taxes, which is really one of the biggest scenarios I can see coming out of a stolen election, is liberals just stop paying their taxes to the federal government. And then
is there a chance that Trump will admire them for that? I mean, you're just like, guys, I love what you're doing with the not paying taxes. I'm warming towards you guys.
Yeah, at that point, he's going to go on one day and he's going to come out and he said, I have a speech to make, but my speech is only one word: respect.
Hey, so if California stopped paying its taxes, do borders suddenly close in America, or are people still able to, like, trade between states? Are they able to, like, travel between states? Or are we looking at scenarios where entire states are going to shut their borders?
Yeah, I don't know what happens then, because it's such sort of an unknown, weird thing. But I've seen it keep popping up repeatedly here and there, people saying, you know, we need to stop paying our taxes if this happens. And it's the real easiest thing that people can do to fuck over the government. I don't know what it looks like. I really don't. Because they can stop sending money. The federal government would say, well, we're not going to give money to California anymore. And California would just say, well, okay, we'll just pay for ourselves and we'll give all the money to the state government. It's just such a shit show. It just spirals into just fucking craziness. Like, I have no idea where it goes, but it keeps coming up.
Okay. And we haven't got to the worst case scenarios yet. So this is great. So, all right. Okay.
Worst case scenario is Biden is, and this is the most likely scenario. Early states go to Trump. A lot of states are going to take their time counting the results, because that's what happens with mail-in voting. And if you don't adequately fund, the system to count them. So, really late tomorrow night, Trump declares himself winner, comes out, gives a speech that he won, and then goes to bed. And then one or two days later, Biden is the winner, but it looks to all of his followers like Biden stole it because Trump already said he won.
And out of 10, how likely is this?
This is like 9.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Really? Do you really think that is like the most likely scenario?
Yeah. And then you have, you just have chaos. Absolute chaos. Then you have people killing each other. And like, it's just, if this is going to end with a Biden victory or a Trump victory, and the other side is not going to believe that's who the president is. That's what this is. It doesn't matter what happens. The other side is not. If you told me that Trump won, I would be like, no, he didn't.
Right. I agree with that. Like, if he wins, you'd be like, no, he's cheated some way. And then the opposite is also fucking true, which is that there is an amount of Trump voters, at the very least, who he is convinced that everything that comes out of the Democrats' like mouths are lies, and that you're right. Whatever fucking happens, there is going to be a huge amount of people who don't believe the result. That's terrifying. It's okay, though. Walmart have stopped selling guns next week, so...
I saw that and I thought, we're going to be okay.
We're going to, like, because people were only going to impulse buy those guns anyway. That's the good news.
as every
here's what I would say to a business right-wing guy. Walmart, and I know that you're like a massive, like, you know, worldwide fucking chain success story, but here's what I would say to the good people at Walmart. If you think you need to take the guns off the shelves for a week as things are getting a little lively, they shouldn't be on the shelves at any fucking time, would be my suggestion.
Yeah, but Walmart just thought we should not sell the guns because Walmart is like, oh, people would just come in and buy guns and then steal from us. Like, you would walk up and say, can I check out that gun and then put a couple of bullets in it and then just, you know, go out to the cash register and say, give me all your money. Like, that's the scenario.
That's why they've done it, as self-defense, you're saying.
Yes.
They're 100%. Saying the most likely reason someone's going to use this gun is to rob this Walmart, so we're not going to sell them.
I mean, do you know how many Walmarts they've found someone making meth in the Walmart? Like, it's just happened so many times.
I mean, it's going to be the first place you do want to take over. You're right. You've got accessibility to everything. Making meth, making weapons, like defending yourself, food. Like, first place that you want to fucking lock down is a Walmart.
Yeah, well, yeah, 100%.
And all those guns they have out the back that they haven't been selling. You've got like an arsenal.
Yeah, it's really the worst idea to have a store like that.
Yeah, to advertise the fact that, by the way, we have lots of guns. They're all out the back, and you can take over this place pretty easy.
Yeah, hey, do you need food and guns to keep your food? Come to Walmart.
Okay, so by Thursday, people have got it shut down their Walmarts. what the? No, but seriously, like, if that is really the most likely scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, we could be 24 hours, 48 hours, 72 hours away from just, like, we think that 2020 has been as bad as it could possibly get, and yet it still might have something else up its sleeve.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just chaos at that point. Like, I can't even comprehend what that looks like. Like, it'd just be crazy. I mean, people are going to want to kill each other. I mean, that's just, that's the scenario. You're like, oh, well, you see how angry everybody is. Well, now they're going to have guns running around looking for other people from the other side. Like, it's just.
But the good news is that sort of violence by their supporters would be condemned by both of the leaders. I think that's. That's what's important.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing you can always count on is calming words, diffusing the anger, letting it all sort of getting into dialogue and discussing. And people go on CNN and Fox and they talk about their what's actually happening and they listen to the legal scholars. That's America.
I was terrified this week. And it was treated in the media almost like it was a fucking joke. When, was it Don Jr.? One of his kids. Whichever the one who looks like he's on cocaine all the time.
Don Jr. He was on cocaine.
And he, like, was encouraging Trump supporters to, like, you know, drive their cars in front of the, you know, the Kamala Harris bus, you know, the presidential bus that was going around.
Yeah.
And I was like, you guys think this is funny? This is how it'll happen. You'll, like, you know, as in, like, you put out these messages, you rev up your supporters, and they all think it's fucking hilarious. Like, they're in the, you know, like, they're in Jackass or something, right? Like, you know, look at the fucking hilarious thing that we're doing. And that's how the revolution's going to start. It's not going to start with, like, I imagine these shirtless guys with fucking flags and, like, you know, leading these parades on patriotism and things they believe in. But it's not going to be. It's going to be a Jackass fucking Steve-O fucking revolution. It's just going to be, like, bros in the streets thinking they're being hilarious as it all fucking kicks off.
Well, it's a little more sinister because, like, I think the Proud Boys will riot tomorrow night.
Yeah, no fucking shit. Yeah, it's a bit more sinister. Yeah. Yes, that's my fucking point. It gets reported like it's a prank, but it's fucking sinister as all fuck because you're like, if you're doing this before the election, when you actually have shit to lose, what happens if you lose the election and if you have nothing left to lose? What are you going to fucking do then?
Yeah, oh, 100%. That's what I just... And then there's also the mix of Q in there, which is just this fucking crazy cult that is just,
isn't that just
itching to kill people. Like, it's just, I mean, so insane.
That
is
just come
what do you
up
say?
So
what do
quickly.
You say to someone? Oh, yeah, well, it was COVID.
Like, if you're in charge of Q, Like, COVID has just been great for Q. Yeah. Like, in Australia, Q is fucking everywhere at the moment. Like, there are so many people, particularly in, like, the wellness community, you know, so people who traditionally weren't sort of in the conspiracy theory community. Well, I mean, you know, they believed in homeopathy and, you know, conspiracy theories like that. Yeah. But, like, you know, not vaccinating your children. But it turns out not vaccinating your children and Q and all these things are mixed up together, and it's all really anti-Semitic as well and violent. And
oh, yeah.
People are fucking into it.
Oh, yeah.
People are buying up this shit in, like, disturbing numbers.
Oh, my God, yeah. And it's all, like you said, it's based on anti-Semitism. I mean, it's, a lot of it is taken right from the Elders of Protocol from Nazi Germany. Like, it's just, it's the same stuff. Jews are eating babies, now Democrats are eating babies. It's just fucking bananas. And they're really being geared up. They're the ones that I'm like, them and the Boogaloos are the two groups. I'm like, they just want everything to deteriorate into madness.
Which ones are the Boogaloos again?
So the Boogaloos are super complicated, but essentially I would describe the Boogaloos as a militia. They're 4chan's militia. So they don't
4chan's
have,
militia are the Boogaloos, and Q are separate to 4chan, but they just have some crossover, right?
Yeah, there's some crossover. Essentially, Q wants to get rid of all Democrats because Democrats are pedophiles, and the Boogaloo Boys want to kill all cops to start the second civil war.
Like, if this was a pitch meeting, this is already too much. I'd be like, I feel like there's too much shit going on. Maybe we just need one sort of underground internet fucking army. We've got fucking two. Like, we've got one of them's called the Boogaloos. One's just called Q. You're like, what the fuck is this? What are we living in at the moment?
It's like trying to follow all of the plot lines on Arrested Development, except it's crazy murderous lunatics.
Yeah. This is this fucking, like, year of the Earth has been written by a showrunner who's off the rails. Like, he's got a lot of problems in his private life. He's really not committed to this series. He's walking into the writers' rooms. He's just spouting out storylines and then fucking off. He doesn't explain anything, how it's meant to fit in the continuity. You're like, that's we right. already have. He goes, Q. There's this thing called Q. And it's all anti-Semitic. And we're like, we've already been doing the Boogaloos for like 3 months. Where does that pay off?
Yeah, it's not. It's so hard to follow. And it's so, like, the one thing that they never, well, they don't teach you anything about fascism in America in school. But the one thing you never learn is how exhausting it is, because it's just relentless from every direction, just complete madness. We're like, how is that a thing? Oh, that's a thing. Oh, okay. Well, then what about, that's a thing too. Oh, this is a thing. I mean, it's just from every side, fucking culty lunatics doing things. And you're just like, I don't know. It's exhausting. And how the fuck does it work out? Can I take a nap? Is it nap time? I want to sleep for 3 years.
So, okay. So you are doing something, a dollop sort of thing around the election, right? What are you doing?
Yeah, so Gareth and I are going to do a live, I think probably 3 hour, just following the coverage of what's happening starting at 6 Pacific time. And we're just going to talk about it, because I think that I don't know if anybody, if people are going to get caught up in the myopic shit. And I think there's a larger picture playing out that everyone's just kind of missing. So when I see stuff, I'll be like, okay, that's not like the thing, the Trump people yesterday blocking all the roads. That's a really bad sign. That's a really fucking bad sign. And that kind of stuff has broader implications. Like, they're not being stopped by the cops. There's no cops showing up. They're testing their limits of what they can do. They're getting away with it. If they want to, you know, just set up roadblocks everywhere, armed roadblocks, well, how is that being handled?
Yeah, but I think if we just let them get away with this, that'll get it out of their system, and they won't need to escalate. I feel like
No, that's right. That's right. That's correct. If you just give them a little bit of leeway, take them off the leash a little bit, then everything works out fine. I mean, That's obvious.
Yeah. Well, maybe you know what it is. It's the equivalent of like finding a kid with a cigarette and making him smoke the whole packet. They're just like, you know what? Maybe if we give you enough fascism, you'll get sick of fascism and you'll never want a fascism again. How about that?
That's usually how fascism is stopped, is the fascists are just like, oh my God, how much fascism can I do? I'm just so over fascist. I'm always thinking of shitty things to do, and I'm just like, can I just take a fucking break?
It's relentless. I don't know. Drive your car into their bus. That'll do. That's it today. Got crimes to plan.
The bus thing. Yeah. I mean, it's just so, like, you can... Like, we've all seen the movies of, you know, the writer's ideas of how this all plays out, and we've seen... You know, we've seen all these little things and then watching it happen, but no one puts it together like, oh, there's just so many people in America who think it's going to go back to normal if Biden wins.
I'm so interested in the cultural effect of, like, you know, the kind of, you know, the cultural imperialism of America, but that story of America that's been told through television and Hollywood films, and how I think that a lot of what's happening, we've become desensitized. It's the same with AI, right? Like, the movies that are meant to warn us about the future, like, that on the surface of you watching them, you're going, oh, look at this, like, movie about the Terminators or whatever, we look at as game plans of how technology should evolve. Like, yeah. I don't think the writers intended them to be this, but I feel like this point in America has been brought by the idea that we've been desensitized to this sort of thing happening because we've seen it happen in TV and movies. It feels like, oh, yeah, okay, this is happening because this is what we've seen happening, instead of remembering, oh, no, that movie was meant to be like a dystopian future where everything had gone wrong. And you're like, oh, yeah, that's what we're living right now. It's cool, huh?
Oh, no, wait. Okay, I've seen this. The plot actually works out fine because right before the end, they catch the guy who's going to do all the stuff, and then it's all, oh, this is going to be fun. Yeah, this will work out because I've seen it.
Exactly.
There's a good Terminator coming.
If Linda Hamilton just walked into the White House and shot Donald Trump, do you reckon if she just did that, right? The actress Linda Hamilton, but she walks in and she shoots Donald Trump in the White House and she says, I'm sorry I had to do this, but he's a Terminator from the future and this was the only way to... Like, enough people would probably go, oh, if it was anyone else, I wouldn't buy it. But because it's Linda Hamilton, maybe this works.
Oh, I think that would actually solve everything. I mean, most people would be like, fuck, I don't know. I mean, that is Linda Hamilton. Like, I've seen so many of those movies. I mean, what are we talking about here? It's really, this seems legit, everybody. Seems pretty legit.
Right.
Well, now we kind of finally came up with a solution to everything that's happening. Just get Linda Hamilton in the White House.
How do you feel about the idea of living through this moment? Like, personally, I mean, like, how are you with everything that's going on? We've talked about, like, what the world's going to look like, but how are you personally within that world?
Well, I mean, I should tell people I am in an isolated place. I'm not in Los Angeles. I am in a...
Underground bunker.
I'm not in personal danger. I've taken myself out of...
You're in a bat cave. You're living in a bat cave.
I'm in my own bat cave.
Dave dug his own bat cave. He spent the last year of dollar profits digging his own bat cave in an undisclosed location. But yes, you are in a safer place.
It's a bunker, but we're calling it Dave's bunker. We're calling it the dunker. So I'm in the dunker.
The dunker, of course.
And...
Honey, I'm just working on the dunker. If you had gone to your family and said, okay, so the solution you've come up with is you're in an undisclosed but safer location, like, you know, a place that should be out of the action, you know, when shit goes down, right? But if you had gone to your family and instead of suggested that, you'd said, what I need us to do is build a bunker under the house. I'm going to call it the dunker. And, like, I'll use it to record podcasts for a while so people don't get sus. But mostly it's so that we can all just go and hide on election day down in the dunker. How do you think your family would have gone with suddenly being dunker people?
My wife has gone from thinking I'm crazy over the years to being like, oh, fuck, if he says it, I really have to take this seriously. Like, you, it's true.
What?
You
said my wife's going crazy?
No, I said my wife over the years has heard me say stuff and thought that I'm crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And then it happens, and now if I say something crazy, you go, okay, well, I have to take this seriously.
Yeah, that's
true. And you're acting. Oh, that was the best. What I loved was, you know, I think her ears pricked up a little when you're making commentary on what she thinks and what she says. It's come in to check. That conversation happened, and just the look of on her face of like, oh yeah, no, that checks out. That's right. No, you're right. Back to what you were doing. Absolutely.
I don't know, but I would ask her. I wonder what she would say if I said we need to build a bunker. I mean, she's definitely of the mindset of like, Jesus fucking Christ, like this is just insane. She's like everything, because I was talking to her about this months ago, and I was like, you know, it's just going to be total chaos, and the closer it gets, it's this and this and this, and bring up things like when Trump, like months ago or last year, Trump was like all the local sheriffs have the most control of any government official where they are, like stuff like that, where I'm like, so this is like what a fascist does, like there's just little signs, and I'd be like, this is a really bad sign. And so she's just kind of been like checking it. And now she's right where I am, where she's like, well, this is just a fucking nightmare. We've agreed not to discuss what our long-term plans are until November 15th. So for now we're in this location. It's out in the middle of nowhere. We're fine. I don't know what she would say. She's very much on the, we need to leave the country, tip, like that's kind of where she's landing. But again, it's such a weird thing to be in a place where everyone agrees the best thing you could do personally is get the fuck out of here, but you're also like, well, that's my culture, that's my right. Home, those are my people. And look,
it's something that you've contributed, like, friends, family, it's something you've contributed to. Like, there is like a difference between like patriotism that makes no sense, like, you know, just the idea of like you've got to respect the flag or you've got to love this country, that sort of stuff doesn't get anyone anywhere. But
yeah,
there is a sense of this is the community you've grown up with and it's contributed to who you are, like the people who support your work, you know, your friends and family,
yeah,
just the way of life that you're used to, all those things like have importance, and there are many of those things that are really cool and excellent things. And the idea that those cool and excellent things would go away because that place only became a place that was good for all the terrible things about it. You think, am I just running away from this fight? Do I need to stay and help contribute to this place becoming... could I say, put it this way, Dave? Is it time to make America great again?
God, when you put it like that, it really puts everything
right?
in perspective.
Makes a lot of sense.
I think it might be time. And look, the first time, 4 years ago, we were like, let's make it America great again. But we didn't really believe it. But now, 4 years later, it's really time to make America great again.
Right. No, in 4 years' time from now, it'll be time to make America great again. How much impact can a person have? So I'm very interested in this, in these times when, you know, these great big movements seem so overwhelming, particularly in the direction of, you know, negative things rather than positive things. As a person who wants things to be more positive than you want them to be negative for people, then how does a person make a difference? Like, can one person make a difference? Like, I listen to some people and I get quite inspired by the individual contribution they're making to things. And then sometimes I'm very disheartened by the idea of like how hard it is for one person to make a difference. Is it only people acting together? Is this the idea? Is it the, you know, the idea of some sort of like revolution or social uprising? Is that the only way that it can happen? Or can it, it can't, it feels like it can't happen inside the system anymore.
Right. It can't.
Right? This idea that you can change the system from inside the system has been revealed to be the lie that it actually is, particularly when one side of the system refuses to obey by the rules of the system.
Right. I mean, one side of the system just was like, why don't we just take the system apart?
Right.
And the other side is like, I just want to have money. Can I have money? Yeah, the system is just completely shot, and it's been shot for fucking hundreds of years. Like, it's a shit system, and you can't save it. But what I don't think an individual can make a difference, but I think a collective of people can. And I think the big thing that could change everything is if we got everyone into unions.
Right.
If we unionize,
so can that happen? Like, is there a chance that would possibly ever happen again?
No, because I can, but we have to go through I think we're going to go through a period like Chile starting in 1973. Like, you know, I think this is just a shit show from now on until people are like, oh, I don't actually want to live under the boot of oppression. You know, at first people will be like, well, at least I'm alive and I can stay under the radar, and then it'll just get worse and worse and worse, and then people will finally do something. But it's going to be a long fucking haul, and I just think it's not something one person can do. And I think as much as it's great that there's positive people out there, I also think, you know, I mean, look at Ireland, right? You got the IRA and you got Sinn Féin, and they're working together. Like, you need a fucking badass kicking indoors, and then you need the guys being like, hey, let's talk about this. But they work together. And I think we need a militant group in America to kick the shit out of things, and then we need the other group of leftists saying, okay, let's we can reel them in if you want to talk to us about it. Like, you kind of had to, it's good cop, bad cop, right? You got to have that scenario going. So for every person that wants to hear positive,
all cops are bad. All cops are bad. Don't you fucking know, man? You can't do good cop, bad cop. That's their fucking lie, man. That's copaganda, the idea that there is a good cop.
That's fair.
Bad cop, worst cop. That's the only way. That's what we call it on our side. Bad cop, worst cop. It's a little case of bad cop, worst cop, guys.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, God, I always forget about the cop part of this equation, which is just a fucking nightmare.
Okay, so I had a personal run-in with the police once, got arrested on a plane on the way to Wagga Wagga.
But that worked out good for you. You made money off that.
Well, I made a lot of money off that, but not why I did it. Just a happy, little bit of serendipity. I managed to turn a little awkward situation into about 80 to 90 minutes of stand-up comedy, which I will still tour again at some stage post-COVID. So I will continue to make money out of it. But I will say this, that it was a fucking terrifying experience.
Yeah.
And I got the best of it. They treated me, you know, I'm sure as well as you possibly get treated in those scenarios, right? Like, white, wealthy, well-known person, like, you know, in a situation that wasn't like, it was, and it was still fucking terrifying. It was still intimidating as fuck. Like, my great insight out of it was, imagine if you were guilty of the thing, or imagine if you were being railroaded into thing, or you didn't have the educational capacity to communicate that I have in that situation, and they weren't worried about the fact that you have a voice external to that situation, that, like, if shit had gone down, I wrote a show about it, but the cops don't come off that bad, in it. Like, you know, it was like, but they could have if it had been a terrible situation, right? So I had all those things on my side, and it was still terrifying. And I had a lawyer say to me afterwards, they say, you just never trust the police. If I could tell you one thing ever, it is never trust the police.
And
I have met individual great police people in the same way as you meet individual great people in any profession. And it's more a discussion about those roles are in our society and how we deify them and how we integrate them and into our societies. But in America, it seems to have an even more terrifying reality than that. So for people who aren't from America, explain the role of police in America.
The role of police in America has always been to protect property. And it started with a way to help slave owners, essentially, and it is just morphed and changed since then, but essentially they exist to protect capital and stop anyone who threatens that capital. And then they've, because of their origins, they're full of white supremacists. And they only get more filled with white supremacists. In the '80s, the white supremacists made a concerted effort to join the ranks of the police. And now you have a very extremely racist, protect capital, stop leftists at all costs, group of roided out, absolutely all on fucking steroids, out of their fucking minds, cultish. They are right up there. They believe Antifa is coming to kill them. They have all of the same sort of ideas as Q.
I forgot about Antifa. We've got Q, we've got Antifa, we've got Boogaloos. This is so hard to follow. Why do we have so many storylines?
But the cops, like, if you talk to people who have been arrested, it's like talking to cult members. The cops are out of their fucking minds. And they are all roided up. And they almost all violence in America is coming from police riots. These are police riots. These are not anything else. These are the cops in America are like wild animals right now. That's what we're dealing with all of the teeth and the fucking claws. Like, that's what they are. They are fucking wild animals, and they are uncontrollable, and mayors are all scared of them. It's really a shit show, and it's the kind of thing that if you try to get rid of it, it destabilizes your country. If you leave it in place, it destabilizes your country. They're the biggest problem going forward.
Okay, so the steroids aren't calming them down? Because normally what I hear...
It turns out that if you give a guy just tons of weapons and armor and then you juice him up with steroids, that it doesn't have the calming effect that you would think it would. You would think it would be like, well, this guy's going to relax now because he's got everything he wanted. But it turns out it's the opposite. It's so baffling because I know that it seemed like a good idea to put them all on steroids.
Jury's out. Jury's out.
Yeah, okay,
I still need to see some more information. Okay, so, well, at least, obviously, you know, if things get too bad, you know, America has a system where the Supreme Court can just step in and they can...
That's right.
You know, obviously, you know, help keep things calm and stable, right?
Yeah, we have we're a nation of laws, and we have a body of people who are not biased, and they decide what's just. And so thank God that on that body we have a rapist and a sexual harasser. And one of the guys, well, the guy who leads it was one of the people who what's called the Brooks Brothers riot, which is when they rioted in Florida to stop Gore from winning the state. And now we have two religious psychopaths who believe that big businesses can kill people for profit. So it seems good when you lay it out.
I mean, you know, you have the right to be judged by a jury of your peers. And I think that's really important. It's so representative of what's going on. So they have rushed through. This is incredible to me. Like, to the point where, so, okay, so Ruth Bader Ginsburg, you know.
Bader Ginsburg.
Yeah. she dies, and so they decide that they're going to put in this, you know, woman who's, like, incredibly conservative. And basically they rush that through, like, a week before the election. That is one of those things where, again, I can't quite understand how that is possibly a thing. Like, where you just go, another week there might be another person being president. Surely this is just something you keep for a fortnight and then whoever's president can decide.
But the whole system is set up to help the rich. So that works. Like, it's also the same thing as, like, why can, after the election, November 5th, why can Trump make any decisions whatsoever? Like, he should then be ruled completely unable to make any decisions unless an emergency happens. The whole system is just a fucking joke. And it's also, that stuff's all a handshake. Like, no one wrote rules. They just went, well, let's not do that. And you're like, yeah, that's not how power gets done. That's not what fascists aren't like. Yeah, okay, there's rules. We agree.
I didn't realize there was conventions. Sorry, guys. I know that we all have a higher value than laws and rules, which are conventions. It's just a convention, you know? Who doesn't love a convention? You know what we have at Mar-a-Lago? A lot of conventions. I love a convention. I fucked a lot of porn stars at conventions. I love conventions. Oh, no, I don't like following conventions. No, just attending them.
I like actual conventions where I can just get drunk and have sex with sex workers. Yeah, man, it's a really weird thing to just see a government that just essentially is all handshakes. And then you have one party who's like, well, fuck the handshakes. And the other party's like, no, you said handshake. That's all they do is go, what? No, we agreed on handshakes. And instead of being like, I'm going to kick your fucking teeth in. They like the fact that the Democrats haven't stepped up and just really ruined the Republicans at this point is fucking amazing.
Well, what's been amazing to me has been the way the media covers it. Like, they cover the idea of the Trump cheating, the voter deregistration and all these sort of things, right? As being, and not counting their votes and all these things, as like a tactic. Yeah. Like, yeah, Trump's tactic worked or Trump's tactic didn't work. Whereas, like, yeah, his tactic was to subvert the entire course of democracy in this election. That's not a tactic. That's like somebody running the 400 meters of the Olympics and just fucking halfway through, just like running across the oval to the fucking finishing line and go, I like his tactic. That's not a tactic. That's cheating. He's on a motorbike. He got on a motorbike at the 50 meter mark and rode it across the finishing line. Interesting tactic. No, against the rules.
Well, no, it's the crazier to the right that they get, the more they're just like, we got to hear both sides. We got to hear Jeffrey Dahmer give his talk on, boys, and then a Democrat. Like, it's so weird because every single aspect of America that you look at is a disaster. It's not like it's one thing. It's like, every single thing is a disaster and it's all going to fucking collapse in a big fucking heap. Like, it just can't go on. Anyway, thanks for coming to my lecture. I'll be here next week. You're listening to Pump You Up with Dave Anthony, where I fire up Americans.
Okay, well, that's as good a place to leave it. We will have to check in, you know, in a week or so, and when we know what's going on. And
we should do one. We should do one next week. I also might start doing videos while this all plays out.
Yeah, well, I absolutely. If you want to do one next week, let's do one next week and have an update. Yeah. This can be the before, and hopefully, we'll find out what the after is. hopefully, we'll be around in a week.
Congrats on you guys, fucking handling COVID, and it's I wish I could explain to you just how insane it is here to sort of live through, but I'm really happy when I hear my other friends are doing good.
You don't need to explain it to us, but you do need to explain it to the people who have fought so desperately against us controlling it this entire time and saying that it was impossible.
That is like just amazing to watch the people in Australia who are like, no, we should do it Trump's way.
The fact that, you know, America is having record cases at the moment and we are looking at going into a summer. And again, this could all change, as we know, because this is the disease, but it looks like we might go into a summer in Australia with all the borders down and with, you know, no or close to zero community transmission cases in Australia, which is this idea, it's been incredibly difficult for businesses. Of course it has been. People will have never have their businesses back. There will be people whose lives have been destroyed by this. But if we open up again now, we are so far ahead of the rest of the fucking world at this stage that our road to recovery from those things will be so advanced on the rest of the world as well. You know, we will get to get back to getting those businesses open, saving some of those businesses in a way that these other countries that just plowed through won't, because they're going to go back into these terrible scenarios again. If it does stay like this, and there are many, as we've proved over the last 8 months, there are many things that can go wrong with that. It is absolutely incredible. And as we know worldwide, the transmission cases in summer are incredibly low in places. So the idea that we are coming into our summer, we got through our winter and we're coming into our summer with these numbers is fucking incredible. And in the future, all these people who argued against it, not from a good place, because I'm sure there were plenty of people who were genuinely concerned about the mental health effects on people, who were genuinely concerned about people losing their businesses. I don't doubt that one bit. But there were a lot of other people who were arguing from a position of bad faith, from politics, from ideology that did not care and said this was impossible. And it turns out that it wasn't impossible. So to those people, I say, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, and also you guys did it with a complete fucking idiot running your country. I mean, you still pulled it off and you have a fucking moron running your country. It's really impressive.
Yeah, I think that's actually what the Prime Minister said yesterday. He said, congratulations, we did it despite the fact that I'm a fucking moron, which was, I thought, brave of him, but I admire that sort of honesty. How good's Australia? All right. Thank you very much for this, my friend. It was lovely to talk to you. All the best of luck. I hope that America is around for us to have a chat again next week. And good luck with the Dollop stream. So where do people find that if people want to get involved?
It's on Gareth Reynolds' YouTube stream.
Okay. So go to Gareth Reynolds' YouTube and you can check out that from 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Do you want to do a little election faux-fop out?
Oh, it is faux-fover.